from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I am Ryan Harkness.
Today on the show, we're going to have a very, very special treat for you. It's actually something I like to call Bible stories. I've been testing it out on the bonus shows, and they've been having quite a good response. So I was going to feature them as a two-parter. The first part, because this is, I'm going to do the story of Moses. This is a big story here, and it requires so much time that I'm going to have to divide it up and put it into a bonus show for later. But luckily, since I'm not a total dick, it'll be like one of those things that if you sign up for the freebie, you know, the one where you don't pay, you can actually listen to the full two-part version. So that's exciting, right?
Ooh, this week is going to be this week is going to be like get the bonus show for free. Feel what it's like to have two shows in 1 week.
Yeah, feel special. That's how you should feel.
I can also understand. It's like Moses was a big deal. Wasn't Moses? Moses was the Jesus of the Old Testament, wasn't he? He was the man as far as the Jews were concerned.
I mean, as far as they're concerned now, I mean, he's the man. He's their prophet. He's the main dude. He's the supposed author of like the Torah, which doesn't make much sense because in the later parts of it, he would have had to write about his own funeral. But, you know, that's religion for you. What are you going to do? They're ridiculous all the time. It's not just it's not a part-time thing with religion. You pretty much have to be unreasonable all the time.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. This could actually be a three-parter. This could be a trilogy. This could be the Lord of the Rings.
It's so true because now that I think about it, I mean, I just finished up. We're going to cover his birth up to the 10 plagues. And you know what chapter of Exodus that is? That's like fucking chapter 6 or 7. And they're like 30. I mean, it's huge. This is the beast. Okay. So that's really the problem with doing the whole Moses story. I'm sorry. They're 40. It's not 30. It's 40 in Exodus. So it's going to take a little while. I mean, then you got the whole wars that he's engaged in and then his later part of his life. So you're right. It could be like our own little trilogy. If that's the case, it could be very confusing for those people who really didn't go and download part two.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say that Moses is the guy that I am the most familiar with, other than, I guess, Adam and Eve. Because you know how when you're young and you're like, I'm going to read the Bible, just at a peek or just random whateverness. You're just like, I'm going to read the Bible. And you always make it through Genesis and Exodus. After that, it gets really boring and lame. But I swear, I must have read those two books, the first two books of the Bible, at least like 20 or 30 times.
Well, which version did you read? Do you remember specifically what version of the Bible you had?
I did. I've done like the Children's Illustrated version. I've done the King James Bible version. I've done a couple of different ones. It was basically the Bibles lying around my house. And looking at right now, since I am down in Tennessee where my parents live and looking over at their shelf of Bibles, I see like the same set of five Bibles over there that they read through that I used to go through too. Just a second, sorry. There's a phone ringing. There's a fucking phone ringing. Well, I don't know if the phone's gonna ring anymore. I think they just wanted to like give me a heads up and let me know. Because here's the way it works, and we can include this in the show because I do want to explain this to people because there might be thunder in the background, because we are in the middle of some apocalyptic storm stuff going on down south here, and apparently there are storm sirens down further in Alabama where everybody's getting hit really hard, but here there are nuclear reactor meltdown warning sirens, so they don't have the storm sirens. They decided that, you know, if you have one or the other, you get the nuclear one. Which I guess is reassuring, but that means we have no storm warning ones. So yes, there are tornadoes coming my way.
I hope we don't lose you mid-show. I would hate to be the one responsible for your demise, because you know how it would basically be picked up by like the five Christian people who listen to the show. They would assume that you were being killed as a punishment for your non-belief.
That I had been smote for talking smack about Moses. We haven't gotten into the smack talking, and honestly, I think you're going to do most of the smack talking. I will just do the smack reacting.
Well, I never really knew how familiar I would be with Moses until you really start actually having to write in modern day language what the fuck is going on. Because you know what? Truth is, I mean, you know the story of Moses, but I mean, do you really? I mean, we know the story of Moses the same kind of way that you know the plot to a movie that you haven't seen in 20 years. You're like, yeah, I vaguely remember this Moses character, but what's he really doing? And that's what I kind of like about really starting to dissect into the myths, because the thing that I've realized from all the previous shows, the Bible story shows, is that the people in the Bible, the specifically the really important folks, that's Jacob, Abraham, and then Moses, they're all a bunch of scammers. Okay? Once you uncover the layer of what's going on, you realize that this is just a scam. This is obviously a scam. Like, you can't even write out of the story how scammy it is. So we're gonna go through it, and you're gonna find out what I mean by scams, alright? Because at least the first part of the Moses story, right away, is a fucking scam. Let's start with the end of Genesis. So now you have, like, by the end of it, and this is why I was glad when we did the bonus shows, because I talked about Jacob on the show, and Jacob is supposedly the beginning of the tribe of Israel, right? So that's the end of Genesis, and the beginning of Exodus is that now, in about 300 years, the population of the Jews has grown from like 70 to several million in 300 years. So already you're starting to see here that there's some kind of fucking scam happening right here. You're like, how is this possible?
Or there was a whole lot of sex and a whole lot of babies. I mean, we don't take it all that seriously nowadays, but back in the day when they were like, you know, be fruitful and multiply, they took that seriously.
Yeah. You know why they took that seriously? Because so few of them would survive to adulthood. Okay? Not very good chances of making it. Do you remember this is the place where the average lifespan is 30? And it's not because you're suddenly dropping dead at 30. It's because so many people don't make it to 30. That's the problem.
I thought there was a whole, like, 300. Like, weren't people living hilariously long back in the day? Wasn't that still going on?
No, they still do by this time. Although it's not quite as ridiculous as Noah and the other, you know, way, way back guys in Genesis who are like, I think Methuselah is like 970 years or something. You're like, yeah, I believe that. No, but seriously, so, okay, let's go back. There's lots of Jews around, and now an unnamed pharaoh, okay, because this pharaoh is not named. You find me a historian who can tell you what fucking pharaoh this is, because he doesn't have a name. They don't bother to mention him.
You know, it doesn't matter because the pharaoh is the dick face of the story. It doesn't matter who the pharaoh is.
He's the dick face.
Exactly. He might as well, pharaoh is just back in the day, you know. It's like, what role the pharaoh will play is the pharaoh plays the asshole. And therefore, you don't even have to distinguish. Like, oh, there wasn't a good pharaoh and a bad pharaoh, one that was moderately better than the other. No, they were all pretty much in the terrible category.
Yeah, they were cocks, all of them. All right, so this cockface, who's now in power, decides that this huge influx of Jews is a serious problem. He's like, if this keeps happening, they are going to take over, and they're gonna basically outpopulate us. They're gonna pull the same scam that Europeans are claiming that Muslims are doing. They're just going to breed them all out.
I was also figuring you could say it's like Pharaoh John McCain saying that the Mexicans are coming through and taking everything over.
Right, exactly. There you go. Mexican, Muslims, whatever. That racist tirade is all the same. It's the whole they're breeding us out. So he decides he's going to enslave them. This is his pragmatic solution, according to the Bible. So, unfortunately, even though they're enslaved, they apparently are still very, very fruitful, and they just keep having kids, And now the Pharaoh is like, okay, well, this is still going to be a problem because you can't have more, you can't have too many slaves. You know, at one point they're going to figure out this whole dynamic thing and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So he still sees that there's a problem. So he decides he wants to make a deal with the midwives of the of Egypt. He's like, okay, ladies, here's what I want you to do. I want you to kill all the male babies when you deliver them. And before you give them over to the mother, you just say like, oh, he died in childbirth. Wah-oh. You know, just kind of pull an old kind of like stab and hide little game.
I don't know. The Jews are good at math. I think they'd figure out the mortality rate. It just jumped like 7,000%.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Anyways, the midwives decide to not do it because they have the fear of God. And they, when Pharaoh confronts them and says, why are you not killing thousands of babies every day? They reply that basically Jewish women are able to just jump back on their feet right after, seconds after giving birth. Therefore, you never have enough time to sort of like crawl in a corner and kill them. But I think that the ruse has a kind of the opposite intent because now he sees them as more of a threat. He must think that they're now super baby producers. So now he's even more scared.
Any woman who doesn't spend like a while after childbirth just thinking about how painful her vagina and anus area just in general is, just a throbbing fucking red blur of pain down there. That definitely is a super human clan to be afraid of.
Right. So basically he has now a new tactic. So he decides that he is going to kill all the young males. So if you have a child, that he's going to kill the young male.
Okay. Fair enough. So he's basically saying he's not going to rely on the women to do it anymore. He's going to take things. And he's going to do it himself.
Right. So into this environment, baby Moses is born to someone from the house of Levi. Because it's important here. This has to be from the house of Jacob. It's got to be a true Jew, man. Otherwise, it's kind of like, who the fuck are you? Right. So he's got his birth certificate. All thanks to a fairy tale story. And now his mom tries to hide his birth from the authorities. She does so successfully for like a couple days, but after it starts getting hard, because apparently they're all over the place, and I guess babies make a lot of noise, so she decides that the best thing to do is to build a basket for him, fill it full of stuff, and just basically send it down the river.
That is some Hail Mary shit right there.
That is some, you think that's really the best solution? Yeah. Put it in a basket in the river. Everything will work out great. And you think the stuff they'd put inside, you know, if you're like, oh, here's some food, kid, I think that's just going to probably attract wild animals faster.
Yeah, the reality of nature is very much more grim. It's like that baby would die of exposure in what, like 2 hours?
Yeah, who knows? It would be one dead baby. But luckily, okay, just the sister, because he's got an older sister and he's got an older brother, so he's not the firstborn. And somehow his older brother's still alive, so I guess...
He got through before the cutoff.
Right,
exactly. He was grandfathered in.
Right, exactly. So he's still alive, thank goodness. His sister's watching on, and all of a sudden, the nameless Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket, sends one of her slaves, fetch the kid, and then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, it's a cute baby, and they decide, well, he needs a wet nurse, and out of the most unbelievable coincidence, the wet nurse they choose is Moses' own mother. So that works out pretty good.
You know, I had completely forgotten how stupid this story was. This is that point, you know, you've ever been like flipping through TV watching for a movie and you see a movie, you're like, oh, this is an interesting movie. And then like 10 minutes into it, you're like, oh, I saw this. The plot is so stupid and unrealistic and I'm just going to change the channel now.
Yeah, you just, you know what? Did they even need to get that ridiculous? Because it's not necessary, because shortly after, when he's old enough to no longer be best friend, he's sent away anyways. So it could have been any old bitch. But they chose this one because I guess it's really hard to introduce new characters, and you don't want your golden boy to be drinking out of some strange tit. is, I guess, the way it goes.
This is basically where it goes to show whoever wrote the Bible is on par with George Lucas, because no matter how big the universe is, you're still going to keep running into C-3PO and all your favorite Jedi characters will continue to run into you over and over and over again. It's a really small galaxy, man.
So, yeah, anyway, so he goes off to live with the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh's daughter. So he becomes kind of the, you know, like one of the kids. But, of course, because he is not Egyptian, you know, he doesn't get any power or title or whatever. But he's tolerated until one day he's just walking along and, you know, he's rich, so he probably doesn't see a lot of suffering. But one day he's out and he sees an Egyptian taskmaster, and that's really what they're called. I mean, that's the word from the Bible, taskmaster. That's what that is. So his taskmaster, like an Egyptian taskmaster, is whipping some slaves, and then when no one is looking, he sneaks over to the dude and hits him over the head with a rock and fucking kills him. So he kills this Egyptian dude for, like, no other reason than for doing his job. So that's Moses. Yeah. He is a dick. Okay, so he buries him in a shallow grave.
Well, I was saying the taskmaster in this situation is a dick, and he had it coming.
You would say that?
Sure.
No, I really don't think so. Look. Let me put it to you this way.
Look,
no.
you're obviously
you
on.
You shut your filthy mouth and you listen to me. Imagine that you're an Egyptian, right? You're looking for a job. You have some kids to feed. You got a wife that's nagging you at home all day, and you know you got a job to do. You got to get these lazy Jews to push these rocks up this hill. You're gonna have to whip some. That's just gonna happen. You're doing your job. You're just part of a system, man. One guy can't make a difference. Give him a break. Does that merit him being killed?
I can appreciate the fact that you're trying to look this from a relative, position, but I'm just telling you now, from my perspective, I'm gonna go with Team Jew on this point, and for this entire story, I am totally on. It's like hockey playoffs, man. It's more fun if you pick a team. I'm picking Team Jew.
You know what? You want to know why you're wrong? Because a little while later, okay, he sees two other Hebrews fighting with one another. So he goes over and he's like, "Hey, how dare you raise up against each other? How can you fucking do this?" Both of them now turn around and gang up on him and say, "Who the fuck are you to tell us what to do? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian guy?" So Moses all of a sudden is like, "Holy shit, this thing is known." That's his own words. So he pretty much realizes that everybody knows, and he's like, "I got to get the fuck out of Egypt." So that is end part one. Moses the killer thug escapes Egypt to avoid being killed for committing murder.
Do you really think they would have killed him, though? To me, I mean,
yeah, no, they would. It's quite clear they would. The passage itself mentions the fact that he was going to be sentenced to death.
Yeah, I just don't buy it. When the princess like all loves you and stuff, and she's been raising you from birth just because she found you in the river. She's like, "Hey, river baby." I think being the river baby gives you like some special. Special permissions to do stuff, and who gives a damn if you end up like smashing someone's skull in with a rock? I'm sure that happened like every other week around there.
Come on, man. No. And first of all, it's a taskmaster, okay? It's not some lowly piece of crap. This guy's got some status. He probably has his own whip.
So it's not like killing a prostitute, it's more like killing a cop.
Yeah, he killed a cop, is what he did. He's a cop
Fair
killer.
Enough.
And he was going to be killed. Doesn't matter if you're a mama's boy. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter anyway. She's a woman. Hello? Does not matter what her opinions are.
Fair enough.
All right. So Moses the murderer has to get out of town. So while he's drifting away, he goes to the land of Medea, all right, and which I think is in southern Egypt. So while he's sitting down by a well, he notices that there's a couple of lady shepherds who are trying to get to the well, and a couple of guys are harassing them, probably in the process of raping them. It's not quite clear. You know, this is back then, so you never know. He then proceeds to beat the shit out of all of them. In fact, there's an interesting link in the notes. You can see one of the paintings is where Moses is grabbing a whole bunch of cocks in order to beat people up, because that's apparently how it's done. Dicks all over the place, it's just madness.
Well, is he beating the women too?
No, he's saving them. See, okay. He saves them, and then he goes back with them to a Midian priest. So he's like this pagan dude They're essentially, the Midians are probably like, they're like black people. Okay. They're the darker skinned part of Africa. All right. So they're black folk. All right. So he goes up and he meets this Midian preacher and who gives him some bread. And, you know, he's like, hey, thanks for saving my daughter. Here's one of them. You can marry them. So yeah, he gets a wife. Now, if you wonder who the Midians are, he actually, this will be in, I think, part two. Because he comes in contact with the Midians far later, and he slaughters them all in numbers. You know that whole commandment saying that you can kill all the women who have laid with a man, but any of them you can keep for yourself?
Was this one of the ten? I don't remember that one.
No, this is not a commandment. This is just one of the many phrases that Moses uttered during their violent campaign of genocide. So that's just one of his little quotes. And it's a very common quote, but that quote is specifically about the Midians. So the black folk. So right, he's got a wife and she gives him a kid. All right, so later, a couple years later, you know, he's tending the flock. He's a shepherd now. Like, they're all fucking shepherds. Like, there's nothing else to do, man. It's like you're a shepherd or you're a slave to shepherding. Which is usually what you are. So he's a shepherd for who knows how many fucking years. But the Pharaoh dies, and finally God, and this, I love this because it says God finally hears the cries of pain of all the Jews. Like finally, like the deadline. Because when he meets up with Abraham, he makes a covenant with Abraham. Says that for 400 years. Your people will be slaves, and it's going to be a whole hell of a fucking piece of shit trial. But eventually, you're going to have your own land once I get you to kill everyone who's on it. So now is the time of the covenant. So God finally hears all their fucking cries, like, boo-hoo, I'm being tortured, blah, blah, blah. So finally he's like, what, huh? He's been gone this whole time. I guess he was on vacation. Is the best way that I can describe it.
Well, maybe it's more like he finally hears, like, he's like, okay, it's loud enough.
I need 3 million cries. That's how I gain power. I need cries.
Well, it's like, you know, in those shows where they have the cheer meter, or once again, going back to, I don't want to keep on bringing up hockey. It's been on TV. What can I say? I talk about what I know. Where they got that cheer meter and it doesn't fucking register anything. It just goes up in a certain time. It's like, boom, it explodes so much loudness. God hears you guys now.
So finally the crying meter works and it's time for God to manifest himself. So while Moses is tending some sheep near Mount Sinai, he suddenly sees a bush burning that doesn't seem to kind of like stop burning. Like maybe he's looking at it for a while and it's just like, man, that bush has been burning a really fucking long time. So he decides to go check it out. And while he gets to the bush, and trust me, this is what I'm saying, what kind of fucking bush did you encounter? All of a sudden he starts hearing voices and he's telling him to take his shoes off because he's in a holy place. It's like, take your fucking shoes off, man, because you're dirtying my holy carpet or something. Now, he tells him that he is basically Abraham and Jacob's God. So he's like, I'm the God of your ancestor, which is very important to clarify when you live in a world with so many fucking tens of thousands of gods, right?
Yeah. Or it could be Satan, you know? You never know.
Right.
Tricky bastard.
Could be. He is tricky. He is a fallen angel who is tricky. So he says, I'm here to fulfill my bargain. Like, I don't know if everybody gets told the whole covenant story. I mean, I would have assumed that probably no. But he says, yeah, now it's time for the covenant to be fulfilled. And that Moses is to go and meet all the elders of the Jews and tell them that God has commanded him to be their leader now. So naturally Moses is like, I don't think that just showing up and declaring that God has decreed that I be the fucking champion of you all will work. So God is very pragmatic. So he gives him a couple of magic tricks that he can use to sway these idiots. Okay, so these are three magic tricks. And by the way, I was thinking that we could produce this as a kind of Moses magic trick in a box.
Like a kit that you can sell to kids or something? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because here's the three tricks that he's given, and these are the tricks that I can imitate all of these things for probably $5. We can make all this for $5. So the first thing is that he has a staff that when he throws on the ground, it turns into a snake. And then when he goes to pick it up again, and it becomes hard like a staff again.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Yeah, okay. So that you can get a trick staff that does that. They're available everywhere.
Wait a second. Where is this trick staff that's available everywhere? Come on, let's not overstate it here.
Look, I'm dating a fucking magician. These exist.
Okay, fair enough.
I was actually asking other magicians because I was seriously thinking about making the Moses fucking kit just to ridicule how lame these all are. Okay, here's the second trick. Trick number two. The trick number two is that he puts his hand in his cloak. And then when he takes it out, it's super white, like as if it's dead.
You know, I do a similar trick so that I get the whole, like, it's not you masturbating your penis, it's somebody else.
Wait, hold on. There's a second part to it. He puts his white hand in his coat, and then it comes out, and it's normal again. I know, man. Normal again. That's a big one. Hold on. And if that wasn't enough, because God says if that doesn't work, if that doesn't wow them, you can take a cup of water and pour it on the ground and it'll turn into blood. There's a kind of powder you can buy that does that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's quite easy to do that. So, and it costs like probably 25 cents to get that powder.
So this worked?
Hold on. I'm not done yet. So God tells him, go back to Egypt. It's time for you to, you know, basically fulfill this covenant, blah, 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 blah. He says, the Pharaoh's dead. You don't need, got nothing to worry about because they don't keep a criminal database in this place. All right. It's not very fucking organized. So they're like, take your wife and son back to Egypt. But Moses is kind of like, I'm not really good at public speaking. So can you get someone for me? So he's like, sure, no problem. And while they're traveling, God attempts to murder him. And the only thing that saves him is that his wife suddenly grabs a knife, cuts the foreskin of the penis off from her little boy's dick, throws it at his feet, and be like, ta-da! God can't kill you now, because he's not mad anymore.
This is a confusing twist in the story. It's just
a random thing that happens. Yeah, he attempts to kill him in the night.
I guess they just, you know, every so often you have to point out the fact that God is an asshole. You know what I mean?
He is a fucking major dick, is he not? It gets so worse. By the time I'm finished telling you about the 10 plagues, I mean, you don't even know the plagues, right? I'm going to fucking re-educate you about these plagues. You're going to think that he's the biggest prick on the planet, no doubt. No doubt.
Fair enough.
All right, so after this whole killing business, God appears to Aaron. Remember his older brother?
What, Moses's? Oh, yeah, the one, grandfathered one.
Yeah, right, the grandfathered one. So he appears to Aaron, who apparently has a great speaking voice, and he's like, all right, meet up with Moses, and you guys can have a really big show, and they take their magic act over to the fucking elders, and they buy it. Boom, they're in. Two guys are suddenly the fucking king of the elders, just from those three magic tricks.
The most impressive thing, because sometimes you gotta look at these Bible stories from the perspective of, again, they're being scammers. And I love the covenant part, just because of the fact that, you know, you need a story to tell these people. It's like, yeah, we've kind of been enslaved for hundreds of years. What's up with us being chosen? Oh, well, that was part of the deal, see?
And yeah, it's part of the deal.
And now it's the payoff time. So
yeah, now it's big payoff time. Well, so yeah, here's payoff. So now there are probably, Moses probably meets up with the Pharaoh a total of maybe 13 or 14 times. I don't even know why Pharaoh keeps letting the guy into his house, honestly, to keep uttering threats, because the first thing that he says, he shows up with his errand the first time. This is the first ever he's met the Pharaoh, because the other guy is dead. So he goes to the Pharaoh and he tells him, you know, let my people go, that whole thing. But specifically, this is about what he wants, is he wants to be able to go sacrifice dead animals in the desert. This is his demand. It's worded like this. Like, we want to go make offerings to our Lord away from the land of Egypt. We want to just go and kill something away from you.
See, this is that whole, like, give them an inch and they'll take a mile thing. It's like, it always starts. It starts with the sacrifice, and next thing you know, they're bitch-slapping you with rivers of blood and pestilence and locust and so forth.
In any case, Pharaoh's like, no, which is a very normal thing for a king to say when you're like, can you release all your slaves, please? I'm surprised that's his only answer. I would just be like, kill him. Like, that would be my response. But he never does this. So, and they threaten him, okay? When he says no, they're like, well, in 3 days, our Lord Yahweh is going to put the fucking smackdown on you. So, and then they walk away. That's what they do. Not very impressive. So, and because of this baseless threat, Pharaoh decides that he's going to start fucking around with his slaves. So he tells his taskmasters to not give out hay to the Egyptians anymore, which is apparently a necessary building block of brick, because their technological understanding is shit. So they need hay in their bricks. So he says, don't give them hay. They have to collect their own hay, but they're still going to have the same quota of bricks they need to make. So he essentially creates a situation where they will fail their quota automatically and therefore get more beatings.
I wonder if they had brick stock and they were betting futures against brick stocks and totally gaming the system.
Not quite that level of sophistication. They were just using it to beat some fucking people who are now very mad at these two scammy brothers in their fucking carnival show, right? They're like, oh, thanks a lot for going over to the Pharaoh and threatening him. It's working out really fucking good. So even Moses goes over to God and he accuses him of sleeping on the job. So he actually smack talks God, by the way, who doesn't even bat a fucking eye. And then he says, you just motherfucking watch what's going to happen. Right? He's like, this has just begun, bitch. Now, the next sequence, now this is often called the 10 plagues, but I'm going to call them the 10 failures and the one offer you can't refuse, okay? Because I think that's more descriptive. There's more going on than just the plagues, by the way. So the first day, when they show up for the let my people go week, which is, you know, extended by a few days, but they're like, yeah, let my people go. So Aaron shows up because supposedly now he's learned all the scammy tricks. So he's a magician too. So he grabs his stick, throws it on the fucking ground, and it turns into a snake. Well, guess what? Pharaoh's got magicians too. He calls them all over. They all throw their fucking sticks on the ground, and they all turn into serpents. Now the serpents have a Pokemon battle, and Aaron's serpent eats them all. But Pharaoh is not sufficiently impressed, and that's their first failure. So that's failure number one.
Does Aaron at least get the Egypt badge because he defeated those Pokemon traders?
No, but he did catch them all. He got all of their sticks, I guess. So that's the first failure. So this is not part of the plague, but this is their power demonstration. And as you've noticed, the magicians were able to do the exact same thing, which kind of makes you wonder, where do their powers come from, right? We'll skip past that and move on to the very, very first plague. So God tells Moses to sort of ambush Pharaoh when he's out, you know, on a boat cruise or something like that, or just chilling out by the water. He's like, show up and put your staff in the water, and I'm going to perform magic tricks. So he does that, and all of a sudden the water turns into blood, and like a whole bunch of dead fish appear, and they're like, they stink, and it's disgusting, and blah, blah, right? So, ta-da, river of blood.
So Moses ruined the Pharaoh's pool party.
Right, he ruins the pool party. But the thing is, his magicians are also able to perform the same trick, so no one is impressed. Of course, the place smells like shit now, but so far, Pharaoh's like, my dudes can do the same as your dudes. That's failure number two.
I like how this is turning into like a hilarious magic off, where it's like they, where day after day they show up and they compete.
Yeah. All right, now let's move on to the second plague. All right, this is when Moses says that he'll infest the whole place with frogs. All right, so that's his, for his next trick. It's like, I'm going to show up, frogs are going to show up, and they're going to fill your house and your bedrooms and your kitchens and your ovens, and it's going to be madness. So Aaron puts, like, he does a little kind of magic trick thing, and all of a sudden, boom, there's, like, frogs everywhere, right? Okay, well, Pharaoh's magicians, they can do the same fucking tricks. Boom, now there are twice as many frogs as there were, and no one knows how to get rid of the frogs, who start dying like crazy. And then the whole place is covered in dead frogs, and it fucking reeks. Like, the whole place is now even smellier. Pharaoh is annoyed, but he's definitely not impressed. That's failure number three, folks. Failure number three.
This is where I would cut Moses' head off.
We've only just begun, bitch. Okay, now we're at the third plague, but I want to really be specific about the next three plagues, because I think that you'll notice that there's something rather familiar about why these plagues might actually occur. So, okay, the third plague, mosquitoes, they show up and they're everywhere. But I figure that's just because of the whole river of blood, right? You had a river of blood. You're probably going to have a huge mosquito problem after. I'm just going to say that. Just put it out there.
Yeah, all the dead fish, all the dead frogs, it probably doesn't help the bug situation.
Right, so now there's a whole bunch of fucking bugs, and although it's got nothing to do with any magic spell, the magicians can't summon bugs, so all of a sudden they're like, holy shit, this is really God's work, we weren't able to do that, but still Pharaoh is like, I'm not impressed. Failure number four. So this is when his magicians can't pull off any more of the magic tricks. So the magic off is over. They've lost, but Pharaoh doesn't care. So that's the fourth failure. All right, let's move on to the fourth plague. Now, this is more bullshit, because now Moses says, I'm going to bring some beetles into the mix. Now, what do you think that big, gigantic-ass beetles eat?
Carrion shit.
Yeah, but they're gonna, and guess what's gonna be all around, like bugs and dead things, whatever. Yeah, you're gonna have a beetle problem. So there's a whole bunch of fucking beetles, and by then, Pharaoh's apparently impressed, because, you know, he's credulous like any of these other fucking idiots. And he tells them that he tries to make a compromise now. Now he's going for sort of plan B. He's like, Moses, how about you just sacrifice your crazy animals within the land, but you just got to stay here. And Moses sort of makes a peace offering himself by praying the beetles away, and the beetles eventually go when there's no more food. So even though Pharaoh's like, yeah, I'm going to let you go, he lied. Failure number five. Okay, fifth plague. This is more bullshit, okay? Moses threatens the Pharaoh by saying that he's going to bring a plague to his livestock. Now, what did we say was one, like the second plague? A bunch of mosquitoes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what are mosquitoes going to spread?
Disease.
Right, exactly. So the only prediction that Moses makes, he's like, well, all of your livestock's going to die, a very questionable claim, as you'll see in some of the other plagues. And none of the Jew livestocks are going to die. That's going to be the proof. So sure enough, the plague spreads, and all the Jewish herds are spared, apparently. Although I could kind of believe it, since they're probably from very different breeding stock, and they're probably very isolated. The point generally being that apparently now all the livestocks on the Egyptian side are dead. Pharaoh is still not impressed, because by now, The one thing that's become clear, and you read this again and again, it's so confusing, because you're like, and God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. You're like, wait a minute, did God do that? You're like, yes. God made him say no in the end. All of this, by the way, is still God's doing. Every time that Pharaoh says no, that is because God has decreed that he should say no. He hardens the Pharaoh's heart for him.
This sounds like one of those moments in a story where someone had stopped the teller and was like, but wait a second, if God controls everything and God controls all man's actions and hearts and everything else, like, oh, but God hardened his heart. Don't forget, God's in control this whole time. He's just basically sitting there fucking doing this whole action figure play thing and playing this out with all of these characters here. Relax, it's all part of the story. Don't worry about it.
All right, sixth plague. So now God gets a little bit fancier. He tells Moses, go over to the Pharaoh, grab a whole bunch of dust, all right, from the ground, and just blow it in everyone's face. And when he does this, everybody gets horrible fucking boils. and they spread everywhere, and it's even on the livestock. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. How can it go on the livestock because they're apparently all dead because of the fifth plague, right?
Mm.
Yeah, apparently they're still livestock because that's not the only time they get they die. They'll die later on too. So the fifth plague is a fucking lie. The fifth plague is a lie. But anyways, so yeah, even the livestock that have somehow been still alive, they're covered with boils and everyone looks crappy. Pharaoh's magicians, they can't do anything to get rid of these boils because, you know, they're witch doctors. They can't do anything anyways. But since it's only cosmetic, it doesn't really matter. So failure number 7, Pharaoh is not convinced. His heart again is hardened. All right, 7th plague. So now Moses says he's going to bring a huge storm. So storm's going to be a brewing. So he raises his, you know, stick or whatever, his magic wand, and a huge fucking cloud arrives hailing firestones. Like somehow it's like both ice and fire. I don't understand how this fucking works. The logistics of it are ridiculous. But yes, it's hailing and the hail is on fire.
You know, that's almost as cool as when there's thunder during... What are those thunder snowstorms called? There's a cool name for them.
I've never heard of these or experienced them.
I heard about it. It was apparently happening this winter. Again, another sign that...
God is angry?
God is very angry. Probably, just putting it out there, probably at the homosexuals. That's what he's always pissed about.
I'm just going to put that out there, just right there. Just right out there.
Yeah. That, you know, if I was going to guess, I would blame them.
Well, you might as well. Who else are you going to blame? So, yeah, now this fire hail is falling everywhere. It's burning down fields and houses. Although, you know, if you really think about it, I mean, it would burn everything. I mean, hail lands on everything, right? Like, how would it not burn every square inch of the place? I guess it's only a couple nuggets are on fire, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, so yes, that's what happens. The Pharaoh then begs Moses to stop. He's like, I'll let your people go. Yeah, yeah. So he calls away the clouds, and then God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and he says no. Failure number 8. Okay, let's move on. The 8th plague. Now, Moses shows up to the temple. He's got free access. Does he have a fucking all-day pass or something? I don't even understand how he can always have access. But yes, he shows up to the Pharaoh, and he's like, okay, here's the new threat, man. I'm going to hit you with some locusts. That's what's going to be that's what's going to be next. So, you know, he puts his hand to the sky. Locusts show up. They eat fucking everything that wasn't burnt down. And, you know, when everything's just gone, Pharaoh, again, he's just like, please, please, I'll do anything. I'll let you go. So he calls back the locusts, and then God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Failure number 9.
Ah.
All right, the 9th plague. This one is just kind of a weird one. I really don't understand it. I mean, Moses basically raises his hand, and boom, the sky goes dark. So there's no sunlight, there's no stars. It's fucking black, man. It's like black when you duct tape the windows and you can't see nothing. You can't even see your own hand. It's that black for 3 days.
It's rape dungeon black.
You can't even rape anybody in that. It's too dark. You just don't even know where you are. Way too dark. So everyone might be creeped out, but the cool thing about this whole dark thing, the upside is that you can't see how horribly boiled face and poorly fed you are. So you don't have to look at each other. That's the good news. That's the good news. So Moses tells the Pharaoh that this was basically his last chance, and the Pharaoh tells him that if you ever show up your face here again, I'll kill you. Failure number 10.
I'm just glad that the Pharaoh has finally said this, because it reminds me of every single James Bond movie that there ever was through the 60s and 70s, where James would just be allowed to wander through and nobody would ever kill him. Goldfinger being the perfect example of this, where Goldfinger captures him 5 times fucking with his shit. Like, and every single time he lets him go, he ends up letting James Bond hang out with the chick who ends up betraying him and screwing up the entire plan. It's just the entire time everything could have been fixed just by pulling out a gun and going, you know what, you're dead, and just blowing the dude away. So, good ups for the Pharaoh for finally wising up and being like, I'm going to kill you. I am going to kill you.
Yeah, well, I have some bad news, because in the 10th plague, Moses shows up again and tells the Pharaoh that now every firstborn son is going to die.
Kill him first! Beat him to the punch!
Well, he lets Moses go, apparently.
Ugh.
And then later Moses meets up with God, who tells him, you know, I know that you've been kind of wondering why this hasn't been working. And he says, well, it's because I've hardened the Pharaoh's heart, because I wanted everyone to see how fucking kick-ass I am. This is his justification. He's like, I wanted them to see this. It's like, I wanted them to fucking understand my power, and they're going to see it. And they're going to be like, tonight, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go home and you're going to kill a goat that doesn't have any sin. And I think by that, it's a pretty clear indication that it's a goat that you have not yet fucked. That's the only way that I understand it. So no sketchy history with this goat. But you're to fucking kill this animal. You're to spread it all over your door and shit. And you have to eat all of it. Like, just... no, nothing left. And I'll spare your children, because I'm just going to come over there and I've got a big crazy sword of the Lord and I'm just fucking slicing everyone who ever came out of a vagina first.
So it's basically like, look, I'm God, I'm all powerful. I could do this right, but my angels with their swords, it's best that you just make sure that you use this virgin goat blood so that there aren't any, you know, screw-ups.
Somehow, like, yeah, it's a fail-safe. And this, by the way, is where the word Passover comes from. That's a celebration. Yeah, we celebrate the 10th plague. Because that very night, God sort of fulfills his little promise, kills everyone who was ever a firstborn. So it didn't matter how old you are, just every firstborn dies. And everyone in Egypt is just naturally a little upset. You know, potentially distraught. Because even Pharaoh's son gets his heir. He gets fucking canned. He gets axed. So, finally, mission accomplished. And you got yourself a nice little Jewish holiday that you can just, you know, take some time off and enjoy time with your family and your firstborns on this fucking magical day.
And it's extra douchey because the first ones are the good ones. They're the ones that you, like, pour all your attention into because they're the ones that are going to get everything. You know, who cares about the second and third? It's the first that matters. So taking them, man, that is a real kick to the nads.
And let me tell you something. The people who were involved, the Egyptians who were murdered, okay, who were murdered so that God could show off, let me tell you something. I think that's a sick, disgusting holiday. God made it very clear that he hardened the Pharaoh's heart. He made all those decisions that led to the actions that he took. The people that he killed, just to what, for what purpose? For what? Obviously, he could have softened Pharaoh's heart. He chose not to, because that would not have been as cool.
Wasn't Pharaoh ready to give in, like, around plague number 5? Wasn't that when God had to start, like, stepping in and being like, let's keep this going. Let's see where this goes.
Well, throughout the whole thing, he says he hardened his heart, but I would say, like, probably past number 4 or 3, he probably started sounding pretty like, yeah, maybe, like, even his advisors, I think past like 5 or 6, they would just be like, can they get the fuck out of here? Like, honestly, we're in ruin. And they blame them.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could always enslave. There's other tribes you can enslave. Weren't there those black ones that the Jews end up killing? You could take them.
Evidently, your slaves kill them. There's no lack of really shitty tribes that can't defend themselves and get thrown into the bondage of slavery. It could be us one day. I don't know how to fight.
The Chinese will get us one way or another.
There you go. That's not racist at all. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan, for spreading your ignorance.
What is it racist to call the Chinese our future overlords?
Yeah.
Oh, so, you know what? I feel as
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, just a little bit, actually.
I feel as bad saying that as I do saying, you know, a certain people have gigantic cocks.
Nope. No. It's just... it is a little bit racist, but I'll give it to you. I'm usually much more racist. So that's fine. I'm just going to point out that it's a little bit racist.
I apologize for my little racism.
No. Never apologize. Be proud of it. You'll look back on that, and then you'll wonder what kind of a man you were. All right. Well, you know what? That's the end of part 1, everybody. So The Pharaoh Lets Them Go, to be continued. That's going to be the bonus show that we're going to throw up. Are we doing it Friday or Saturday?
It's up to you. It's all good.
I think we'll do it a weekend one, so everyone has the time over the weekend to clue in and to download it, so they can also listen to it on their ride back. Because I think part two is going to be even more hilarious. If you think that he was nuts in part one, Moses gets more crazy, way more crazy. Thousands of people are about to die.
Well, this is where he becomes like main boss. Like before, it was like Pharaoh still had them in his grasp. He was still running the show to a degree. Moses was working to change things, but now he has secured himself as the supreme overlord, and he is going to march his people into the desert, and it should get interesting.
Yep. So that's part two. That's going to be the bonus show, and you won't have to pay for it. If you go to the site, you register for the freebie membership, and you'll be able to download the show. There's also a couple other shows. We provide one probably every month and a half, every once in a while. Sometimes it's like even as little as once a month. So that's more shows. That's even more things we give. So we want to kind of get people to remember that we have bonus shows. This will be a good way to do it. And plus, I could not do it in one show. This is already like almost a fucking hour for part one of a crazy trilogy. How nuts is that?
That's true. And, of course, if you guys want to make sure that we stick around till we get to Revelations, the absolutely dumbest book in the Bible, which is an impressive feat.
That would be a really crazy trip. Like, that probably would take a long time to just try to decipher that acid trip.
Yeah, seriously. But, yeah, if you want us to want to make sure that we make it to there, you can also donate $20 or $5 a month or various other plans. There's a whole confusing payment plan option that you can go to on our website if you want to help us continue to do this wacky podcast and tell you guys fun Bible stories in our unique manner.
Among other things that we provide, Bible stories is just one of those things. If you like Bible stories, by the way, let me know. Those are some things that I might include as the free shows more often. Because I was locking it behind a patron wall for a little while this puppy was in development. Because this ain't my first pony ride. This ain't my first pony ride. All right, well, with that, we're going to catch everybody for the bonus show. And my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.